T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are joined again, and this is the first meeting between Joe and KFC Barstool. And I know this is a very special moment for you,
it
KFC.
Is. It's an honor, Joe.
Because you love
don't
Joe.
Don't be honored now, man.
No, I've been listening for a while. Yeah. It's an honor.
You're a Jet and Met fan, and you're young, so you got a lot of aggravation yet to come.
Well, I've been told it's like I'm looking at Ghost of Christmas Future here. I mean, as I understand it, me and you are very similar processes here.
Here's the problem.
I know what he's going to say.
Joe, at a young age, younger than us, saw the Holy Land that we have not seen.
Well, see, so that really scares me, because if you're the way you are now and you had the happiness, what am I going to be with no happiness?
You got to remember now, I was 15 years old, okay? 15 when they won the Super Bowl. Now I'm 65. So it sounds worse than 50 years. When you say that I haven't seen even a Super Bowl appearance since I was, you know, and I was 15 and now I'm 65, it sounds worse than 50 years.
But what am I when I'm 65 and I didn't even get the Super Bowl at 15? What am I going
to
be?
I don't know what to say.
I won't be here when I'm 65, if that's the case.
I'm mixed about it, though, because I still don't know what it would feel like. And maybe tasting the sweet nectar like Joe did at a young age, in a weird way, does make it worse. I go back and forth about it.
Like,
it
you got a taste of the good life, and then I got yanked away.
And remember what I got. Now, remember, I got, within about a year and a half period of time, I got to see 3 of my teams win championships in like a year and a half.
Yeah, you were spoiled, man.
Starting with, the Jets won in January of 69, the Mets won in October of 69, and the Knicks won, it was in May back then, when the finals, in May of 70. So here I am, in less than 2 years, I got all my teams winning a title.
And you're thinking, you know, it's going to be a great life. Right. Here we go. Dynasties.
Right. Oh, my God.
You know what that's called, that experience you had? That's called Boston. Because that's what they have now.
Listen,
all the time.
That's right. Tomorrow will be the parade. There's this kid up in Boston who I always make fun of on the website. I nicknamed him Patrick McGillicuddy. 16 years old, 11 parades.
I saw that picture.
11 in 16.
Yeah. You believe that?
But you know what? Like, I bank on him. I'm just hoping the rest of his life is miserable.
It's got to be.
I mean, I hope, I wish, at this rate, I feel like it's never going to stop.
Yeah, well, right now when it rains, it pours, that's for sure. Yeah. When you came in, Joe wasn't here, and you were not pro Sam Darnold. And I actually had to convince him, Joe, that the—
Well, no, let me just say this. I wasn't pro playing him. I had hope for him, but I thought, why are we rushing this? Why don't we let him sit?
I mean, Evan and I kind of both agreed with that. I mean, I think if it was my call, I would have started Bridgewater to start the year, okay, and brought the kid along slowly.
Yeah.
Now—
But I kind of bought into it.
Well, are you still buying?
Well,
look at this guy.
After the Colts game, I bought in.
Okay.
Because I thought that was the type of game that in years gone by, the Jets lose, they go on a losing streak, and you know they can't win ugly, all those things. I thought he put together a type of game where I was like, oh, all right, this is different. And I bought into it, and I was like, fine, I'm going to give you my heart, Sam. Here we go. And then since then, it's been a mess.
Yeah, but you got one thing. But this kid, though.
Believe in him, though.
No, I do. And I do. But right, I mean, it's just funny that as soon as I agreed with you and I bought in, I believed in him, and then it's been a disaster two weeks in a row. Here we go.
He's way ahead of schedule what I thought he'd be.
Ahead.
And even the game Sunday, I mean, let's be honest, he's got no weapons around him. They're not letting him do anything. They're running the ball on first down all the time. And half the time, there's a false start. So it's second and 15 or first and 15 all the time. And I thought the kid played pretty well. I mean, he threw the ball away when he had to. You know, he made some good throws. When they let him throw the ball, I mean, he makes that big play to the new kid, Burnett. Then he hits Herndon, who only threw one damn pass to it. Tell me why. You know, he looks like he's a player. You know, he didn't play that bad.
No, he didn't. And that's what I mean. Like, he's just doing what I need to see to be like, we're not going to be the same disaster we were, which is that's the bar. It's low, but that's what it is.
And I'm telling you, and I'm never usually like this, but Joe would always say with the Red Sox, it's amazing to say this about the Red Sox now, that when they break the curse, it's going to be epic. And it was, obviously.
Yep.
Same thing with the Cubs. And it was. The Cavs. The way they got Darnold, and now what's happening to the Giants, because they are connected in this big time.
Sure they are.
It's all pointing towards him being the guy.
I know. You've been on this for a while, like this storybook.
It's happening.
The Disney story.
Is it not happening before your eyes?
Are we going to say that this season so far is like a Disney movie?
Not
like,
him. Not him and the Jets.
The
but
Giants.
What's happening to the Giants?
Yeah,
certainly
I agree
is.
With that.
They passed on him.
Yeah.
They got Kyle Aletti's their backup.
But you got to remember this, too. You have to look at the game. I mean, you know, John Elway, who to me is one of the greatest it's a top five quarterback that ever played the game, okay? He won 3 games his first year.
Yeah.
And he wasn't any. Peyton Manning, he won 3 games his first year. And these guys don't come along in year one. You know, there's very few. Dan Marino's the one guy. I mean, when Dan Marino came into the league, I mean, he was unbelievable. Like, he was the best quarterback in the league the minute he started starting, like 6 games into whatever it was that season in 83. So Donald, to me, is way ahead of schedule what I thought he would be.
And I don't know if this is spin zone or what, but the fact that he's seen a little bit of adversity and had a couple ugly games almost gives me more encouragement than if he just came in guns blazing. Because I want to see how you react when the media is giving you a hard time or when the fans are down on you or you have a clunker. And it seems like he's always bounced back.
He's also got a great – the fact that McCown is there, and that's one of the best $10 million the Jets ever spent. I mean, this guy's like with him all the time.
It's perfect.
It's huge.
And I feel like McCown is very happy to just be on the sideline.
I'm not
looking to get my brains mashed in anymore, but I can still contribute.
Right.
He's considered part of the team. He's like a brother-father figure. That's a good situation.
The thing about Teddy Bridgewater starting, if they had played him or kept him, I can only imagine what today would be like at the trade deadline. Because you got teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I think still have hope they could win. They could have gotten a big time pick.
They probably
could have
gotten one for him instead of a three. Probably.
Maybe.
But I mean, then you also think about the development of Sam has been pretty solid. So I wouldn't mess with that for a second or a first. No.
At this point now, you're right.
Right.
Yeah. At this point now.
Yeah, I mean, because he's given you enough. I think with a young quarterback, you want to see flashes of it, and I think we've seen plenty of flashes of it. What they've got to do, though, here's what they got to do: they got to build a better offensive line. They have to give them weapons. They have to have a run game, and they need a coach.
Listen.
That's the number
first,
one thing.
Yeah, first and foremost, this guy.
Number one.
You're done with terrible.
I'm done.
Bro, he's terrible.
I mean, I can't watch another, like, field goal when we're down, like, 30 points punting when there's 2 minutes left in the game something. It's just
penalties.
Asinine.
No, but the penalties.
Yeah,
Kevin.
Every week.
It's the same stuff.
Yep.
Well, here's the other thing, too. 2 weeks in a row. Okay, these plays kill me more than anything because, this is not taught, and Avery Williamson even said this to us. You go back to the game, the Minnesota game, all right? They're down 20-10. There's that backward pass by Kirk Cousins, and nobody's even looking at the ball. Nickerson finally went after the ball after Diggs realized it was a fumble, and then you had to play on Sunday with that punt. Maybe he shouldn't have punted there, but you know what? Tariq Cohen touches the ball. It's their live ball, and Sherrone Peak runs by the damn ball. Pick the ball up. I mean, this kind of stuff makes me crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's unfair to judge him for his very stoic, demeanor.
That.
But when you are making the same mistakes every week and you're doing, and then he just sits there with his same look and his same, voice, it's like, I want to strangle you.
I can't
do that anymore. I feel like Hugh Jackson was a very good, I feel like Baker Mayfield very much influenced that situation in Cleveland where it was like, we got our guy, so now let's figure out our head coaching situation. I think the Jets should take a page out of that book. Like, let's get it going and let's find the right guy.
The Rams are the prototypical example.
Bears,
yes, that's right.
Yep.
It feels like Jet fans are the only ones who realize
this. I know.
This.
I feel like I'm going crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, you honestly have to watch him coach to really get it.
You know what the problem is?
If you're not watching the ins and outs,
the problem is that our team is a big-time second-class citizen to the Giants.
Yep. Which is crazy, though, because look at what's going on with the Giants right now. Yeah, I'm sick of hearing
about
the classy Giants and the Maras and then this and the that. It's like, if we're talking about laughing stock, embarrassment type of football in New York, it ain't the Jets right now.
No,
they've passed.
It ain't the Jets.
That's not.
But you know what? At least they've won a Super Bowl in the last decade.
Well,
that's the
trump card, yeah.
But right now, the Giants have passed them. We've talked about that.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, especially over the last few weeks, we haven't even been able to talk that much Jets because it's been all about – Eli, the line, the owner. It is definitely a mess right now, but the Jets need to be more than just not as pathetic as the Giants.
Yeah, I know. But listen, baby steps, yeah.
Right
now, I'm happy the Yankees lose, and I'm happy the Giants are a dumpster fire. And, that's progress.
Here's the thing, because I saw you tweet this a few days ago, and I'm curious, because Joe and I are on an island here.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are mocking the Mets. They're killing the Mets. Brody Van Wanigan, what are they doing? I actually have hope about this hire.
Oh, my God.
Why do you hate it?
He's drinking. You too, John?
I do. Because yeah. You know why?
You guys are crazy.
No, but let me tell you why. Because it's so out of the box for what I expect from the Mets.
Correct. But that, see, I think if any other franchise thinks outside the box or goes unconventional, it probably works. And it's like, wow, these guys were so forward thinking and it changed the game. It's not going to work for the Mets. It's not going to work because of the storybook we always talk about. These things are written it's written in stone that the Mets are going to do something stupid and asinine and try too hard and do something too unconventional. The fact that he represents half the team, you don't think that's going to be a conflict of interest?
I think
that's going to be so stupid.
Let me throw something at you, all right? And you could eat it up and we can convince you, or you can say it means nothing. Brody Van Wanigan's job over the last how many years has been to convince owners and general managers.
True story. I heard you say this, yep.
To give them their money. He showed up with a book on Cespedes, had nothing to do with stats. Didn't even bring up his stats. He talked about merchandise sales. He talked about ticket sales and the importance that a guy like that would have to the team. If he does that tomorrow in Jeff's office, he says, Jeff, hold on, we need to have a meeting. He whips out a book and he says, you see this Manny Machado jersey? It's going to be the number one jersey sale in baseball. It's going to make us $2.8 million. Okay. These are the ticket sales if we sign Manny. And if we don't sign it, this is going to make you $14.6 million.
There's no doubt about all that. But
Manny, what's the problem?
But Manny Machado is a good example because it's like, is that the right baseball guy? I understand that he might be charming and persuasive and could be a snake oil salesman for all we know. But if he's not persuading the Wilpons to sign the right guys because he doesn't have any baseball knowledge, I don't care about his abilities to negotiate.
I disagree that he doesn't have baseball knowledge because the guy represented all these different guys in the sport. So he has to have some idea of baseball.
Well, yes. Yeah. I'm not saying he's like, you know, completely ignorant to the game, but I think there's a big difference between I have certain clients and I'm trying to get them the most money possible versus I'm assembling a team, you know, to win.
And there's uncertainty about if he can do that job well. No doubt. I'm not telling you it's 100% going to work, but I like the aspect that he can maybe convince these owners who don't
spend money
to spend.
My thought is, honestly, I don't think it matters. I feel like those three guys were kind of scraps to begin with. I feel like there was a lot of people turning down even the idea of interviewing because nobody wants to work under Wilpons.
So
I feel
like
the Wilpons were going to hire who they feel is their biggest mouthpiece, is their guy they can control.
That job,
see, I don't buy that.
I think he is because I feel like he. I think he's an agent man for the Wilpons.
I don't think
the Wilpons would hire anybody who they didn't think they could control. And I think a guy like him is happy to be like, I was an agent and I became a GM. I think he's happy to make that jump no matter who it's for.
Look, all of this may be true. See, here's the one thing about Brody Van Wanigan, whether you're anti him like you or pro him like us, none of us have any idea.
That's true.
He has no record.
Right. Anybody acting like they really know what he's capable of is crazy.
We don't know.
My thing is that even if he is capable, the Wilpons are the problem.
They are.
It doesn't matter who's underneath them because we know Jeff likes to meddle. We know he can't keep his paws off this team. And as long as his stupid brain is influencing this franchise, it doesn't matter who's
the GM. Here's the thing, though. I mean, look, if Van Wagenen turns out to be a yes man for Jeff Wilpon, then it's a disaster. But I'm counting on the fact that he's not going to be. That he's going to come in there with his own ideas and say, look, you know, I was watching a little bit last night. They had the thing on SNY about, you know, Piazza, the road to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
And they're talking about what happened to get Piazza here. And Fred Wilpon didn't want him, and Doubleday did. And finally, they went in, they sat down. Steve Phillips is talking how they went in. They sat down with Fred, and they started talking about numbers and money and, like you said, merchandising and how much money this guy is going to bring here if we make the deal for him. And they eventually did it, and we all know how that worked out. I'm counting that Van Wagenen is going to do the same thing for us now with the Mets.
From your lips to God's ears, Joe.
Let's see.
I mean, and if that happens, I will gladly have egg on my face. No, I would love it. But they got to, like, I just don't believe that's how it's going to play out. Or if it does, I could see them picking the wrong guy. Piazza was the right guy. But you give it to Machado, and let's say he plays much more and behaves much more like he did in this World Series versus how he has in the past. And now all of a sudden, you know, the Wilpons are gun-shy. And they're like, you asked me to spend money, and I did, and it didn't work out. Now we're closing the wallet.
And that's been the problem because the money that they have spent over the years, it's all not worked out.
Right.
I mean, most of it's bargain basement, too.
Well, but not Cespedes.
No, Cespedes wasn't.
They usually nickel and dime, but then when they've gone all in, it's been the wrong guy.
Yeah.
And then they get, you know, then everything's out of whack.
I can't see where this guy's going to be the wrong guy. He's 25 years old. He's 26. And I told you, I'll make the T-shirts up myself. Hey, Manny, don't hustle, but come here. You know, I mean, I don't. fine.
We will pass it by June.
Maybe
though.
That brings the price down.
I don't know, man. When I heard him say, "I'm not Johnny Hustle," like, listen, that might play in L.A. I meant play for a loser. I feel like if you're in New York,
but he's gonna
Joe,
get
you
here.
Will go
of course.
Crazy.
Of course, I will.
You will blow a gasket over that.
But tell
guy.
Me you don't want Manny Machado.
I don't know. Listen, prior to this postseason, I would have been all about it. I don't think I realized how much of a jerk that guy is until I saw him spiking people and openly
What's
saying I don't
that?
Hustle.
The hustle part I agree with, but people playing with an edge?
I think there's a difference between an edge and openly like spiking
dirty?
People.
What was dirty? When he kicked them?
Yes.
The schmuck had his foot all on the base. First base.
But
get off the bag.
Can I ask you this, Kevin? Did you want A-Rod here when he wanted to come here 18 years ago?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So what? Seriously, what's the big difference? And we only hope Machado's as good as A-Rod. What's the big difference?
Well, I mean...
I'll buy him the steroids. I don't care.
I love it, Joe.
Come here.
I mean, prior to the postseason, I would have been right there with you. I feel like
steroids or not, we're not throwing the championship back.
I think we should buy him all the steroids, Joe. Everybody, let's go.
It's not the NCAA. You know what I mean? There's no vacating any titles here.
If you know what? If they want to go, if they get Machado and really, like, let's go all in, I'm all about it. If you go and sign Manny Machado, he's going to come here. He's going to be his lazy, I don't hustle self. And it's going to be a fiasco with the fans and the media.
You are right. And I said this to Joe. Yeah, I think there's a lot of Met fans, yourself included, Joe, who are going to rip Manny Machado when he doesn't hustle. I totally get that. But he also ripped Beltran. Yep. But you know what? Beltran was a damn good Met.
Oh, how about David Wright? David Wright, we love him. He didn't have a hustle. He didn't hustle all the time.
Yeah, but I think to openly be like, I don't do that. It's not me.
Yeah, because he wasn't honest
that
about
is,
it.
That ain't going to play in New York. Yeah, that is true. It's like, we always ask for honesty in players.
If
then when they
guy
do
guy comes here and he hits 45 homers and drives in 120 runs and leads the team to the playoffs, you know, I don't care what he says.
You don't have to hustle when you're trotting around the bases,
saying.
You know? I'm with you on that, man.
And the thing is, very few times does a guy at that age get the free agency.
Right.
It's just not common.
That's exactly right.
The conflict of interest part, I don't know. And I think it's going to be fascinating.
And
to
the
see
fan
how he
base,
it.
And here's the other thing too: the fan base. You may be down on it. I guarantee you, 90% of the fan base will be delirious if they signed Manny Machado.
Well, once you get, there's nobody of that talent level at all on this team. So when you see someone who is just a stud in the box,
I know how to sell it to you. Here we go. You know what that would do to Yankee fans?
Oh yeah.
They love Manny. Ernie. My God.
I mean, they're already putting it. You know, they're already him, Harper, and they're already adding it onto the team like it's set in stone. Listen. I hope. I just feel like the problem is Manny Machado, you put on orange and blue, it's like a poison. It's like a stink that you can't get off of you.
Yeah. We'll see. Let's see.
Okay. Let's see. I appreciate you coming in, my friend.
Thank you, man. Joe, it was an honor and a pleasure.
Man, I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
KFC Barstool. You
I don't
can
know
follow.
About great.
Nah, I mean, all right. Pretty good at KFC Barstool.
Pretty good.
We'll go with that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.